salvo behind me, crushing the wooden planks as it hurtled toward me. Damn parking brake! There's only one way to avoid being crushed. I closed my eyes, held my nose, and jumped off the edge of the dock. Either way, I was about to die. I kept waiting to hit the water, but it didn't happen. I heard a loud splash and opened my eyes in time to see my beloved Volvo nosedive into the lake. It was then I noticed the strong arms around me and the small fact that I was airborne. I was airborne. The winged man whisked me safely to the cliff's edge, where he'd stood only moments ago, just in time to watch the lake swallow the back end of my car. I stared into the winged man's beautiful face, uncertain what to say. "Are you my guardian angel?" I asked. "And if so, where in the hell have you been for the past 25 years? Wait, could I say hell to my guardian angel?"
"Absolutely not,"
he said gruffly. He released me and my legs turned to jelly, forcing him to grab me again so I didn't fall off the cliff. "Well, I guess I'm yours," I said, still shaking. He looked at me askance.
"How do you figure that?"
"Hello?" I pointed to the water far below. "You were about to end it all." He displayed his wings again.
"If I was going to end it all, I don't think jumping from a great height would be the logical choice for me."
When I reached out to touch the feathers, he smacked my hand away. "They can't be real," I murmured. "This has to be an elaborate joke."
"You're telling me," he said. "This is my safe place. No one ever bothers me here."
"Shouldn't your safe place be a little higher up?" I queried, pointing skyward.
"A story for another time,"
he said.
"How can you even see me?"
"The cliff isn't that high," I replied. He eyed me suspiciously.
"Did you know you had the sight?"
"Well, I've been using my eyes since birth, so yes," he groaned.
"Not sight. The sight. The third eye, piercing the veil."
He poked the spot on my forehead between my eyes.
"It's a particular human gift that allows them to see through supernatural glamours and such. Ring any bells?"
I shook my head. Being this close to him on a clifftop was making me nervous. "If you just drop me back on the shore of the lake, I'll see what I can do about my car." Never mind that my phone and handbag were in the bottom of the lake, along with my car. He pressed his lips together.
"Can't do it, I'm afraid."
"Sure you can. Just spread those wings of yours and fly me over." His expression clouded over.
"No, I can't. The dock's been destroyed thanks to your monster on wheels, and the boundary's in the middle of the lake. If you'd been any closer to the shore, I wouldn't have been able to help you."
He tapped his finger on his chin.
"I suppose I could drop you gently into the middle of the lake, and you can swim back to shore."
He considered me for a moment.
"You held your nose when you jumped."
"Did not."
"Sure you did."
"Okay, fine, I'm not the best swimmer." Truth be told, I couldn't swim at all and was deathly afraid of the water. Not like I had many occasions to learn when I was growing up. My grandparents didn't take trips to the beach, and we didn't know anyone with a pool.
"That presents a problem then."
"Why does it matter about the dock? Just drop me on the other side of the lake, and I'll forget this whole thing ever happened with copious amounts of alcohol."
"I told you. The boundary's in the middle of the lake."
My brow creased. "The boundary for where?"
"For the town where I live, Spellbound."
"Your town is called Spellbound?" I'd never heard of a town with that name, certainly not in Pennsylvania.
"Don't give me that look. I didn't name it."
He held up a finger.
"I know. I'll take you to the forest border. It's not ideal because you'll need to walk further, but it's better than nothing."
I tried to wrap my head around what he was saying. "The forest border?"
"You know what a forest is, don't you?"
he said, and then seemed distracted by something on the ground in front of me.
"Do you know your socks don't match?"
I glanced down at my feet. How could he possibly tell? My shoes covered most of the mismatched material. "It's the style."
"Not in any century I've ever lived in."
I started to laugh. This has to be the most elaborate hoax anyone has ever played on me. I patted him on the shoulder, searching for the invisible wires. "Good job, Michael. Seriously, you're a pro."
Michael.